Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at InternetAdvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
We have quite a show ahead of you, and it's a special one in particular for the ladies, the young ladies, getting them involved with technology. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. Great program ahead of us here on the Internet Advisor. Don't forget that our second hour is chock full of good things. That's with your questions and getting answers for you as well. All that coming up on the Internet Advisor. So stick around for a great show as we focus on social media and keeping young ladies involved in technology. Well, we got kind of a summertime crew here at the Internet Advisor. Gary is off cruising, I think, right now. Ed is batting mosquitoes at a Boy Scout camp. And in the cool comfort of our studios, very thankfully, I have a great team lined up for our program today. Kellen Carson, welcome once again to being here.
Where else on a Saturday afternoon would I be other than Nice Arena?
That's true. Couldn't get much colder than a Nice Arena.
This is true.
This is still comfortable here. And Shane Hamlin is here with us this week.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you, Shane.
Glad to be here. As long as he keeps the mosquitoes where he's at, yeah. I'm good, because mosquitoes love me.
Oh, dear. The dinner bell rings when they see you coming.
I'm telling you, I must have really sweet blood or something.
We're delighted today to welcome, of course, this is our monthly meeting with Emily Hay, our social media expert, who's here from Hey There Social Media.
Hey there, Foster.
Good to have you. I ought to throw a little bone there. Emily, it's good to have you with it today, and we've got a program packed in, as a matter of fact. Why don't you give us a little bit of a little sampler of what we're going to be doing in this hour of our program today as we focus on social media in particular.
Sure. So as we learn about teen girls and preteen girls that are learning about technology fields and potentially embarking on careers in technology, an interesting that I've seen with just our work in social media that social technology is becoming really a nice entree, a nice fit to get familiar with technology that isn't traditional, maybe engineering or something that involves writing codes and things that you tech guys can do.
But it does engage them because of the social nature of it, I would gather.
Exactly. And it's almost like the dynamic shifting from technology being something that's geeky, you know, old school geeky, to being more tech savvy, and that's very cool today.
Well, we've got some interesting guests who are going to be with us in studio, as a matter of fact. We've got somebody who organized Camp Infinity, which was just this last week, and that was done in collaboration with the GM Foundation and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, people we've dealt with for a long time. And we'll be talking with Julie Patterson, who is the camp director, so she'll be talking about that. And we have three young ladies who were at the camp who will be with us in studio to talk about their experience and directly to talk with him about the whole notion of hanging on to technology for girls. Hey, but guys, before we get into that, this has been a big week, and it's kind of interesting, kind of dovetails to this in some ways. There was a very important shift in personnel between Google and Yahoo this week. I imagine you noticed that, Emily, along with a lot of other ladies taking a look at that, as well as the tech world.
Absolutely. Marissa Mayer, she's a bit of a tech pedigree.
Absolutely. 20th employee at Google, which was really interesting to see that she had been there way back when, and an engineer as well.
Right. And she was involved with some of Google's, you know, really exciting projects that we all use every day, from Gmail to Search to Google Maps. So talk about a pioneer in tech and leading the way for us girls.
Yes, absolutely. And what I find kind of interesting, guys, is that when they were, I found this fascinating that the board would say this, and I didn't know whether she should be insulted or not. They didn't take into account the fact that she's pregnant at all. It's like, huh? How do you avoid that? Come on, please. But they said, nope, that's not going to make any difference. I wondered, though, because, I mean, this is just simply the fact that there's going to be a point of time where she's going to have to step out for the birth, et cetera, and I'm going to want to be with the kids. Why wouldn't that make an impact?
I don't know. Nowadays, with telecommuting and that sort of thing, if she's not physically if she's not physically down, and
that big word, yeah.
And if the baby's not sitting there going, I need your attention, that sort of thing, all she needs is a laptop and a webcam, and she's right there with the rest of the game.
I mean, it's not like women are off of work for 6 months anymore, or 3 months even. I mean, it's a month and maybe, and you're back to work and ready to go. I mean, you work, a lot of women now work right up to the day. I mean, they're past their due date. They're ready to go. I mean, this is a different time. Women have the power to do these things.
But it's also going to require an incredible amount of focus.
Yeah.
And I just see, you know, having, especially a child, but your first child, that's going to require, it's got to require focus. That's a little human being that, you know, needs mom and dad. But I mean, they need the parents intensely in that period of time. So I just found it interesting that they would do that at that point in her life when Yahoo is on the critical list, or Yahoo really needs help.
But yet, you know, on the same for the same token, I mean, like, if you got the right team in place that's supporting her, you can, she can go away for, you know, a few months, and it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, you know, Steve Jobs unfortunately passed away, but Apple hasn't missed the beat since he left because the right people were in place to help support him.
You got to wonder if the right people are in place at Yahoo, well, given their track record so far.
Well, until the baby comes, she's got some time to put the people in place to do it.
She's very outspoken, I will say that. I saw a couple of interviews that they had posted about getting involved in technology and what she wants to do. One of the things that she's noted for, I think, with Google is that kind of clean, simple lines that we often identify with Apple, but also with Google in terms of the search windows. Google Chrome, how I love that.
Clean and simple.
It's clean and simple. One window. You put everything in that one window, and I love that approach. And Yahoo certainly needs to have some house cleaning going on.
Yeah, because we all know when we go to Yahoo, it's just everything, everywhere.
That's exactly it. It's just a collection of frou-frou. Speaking of companies that are struggling a bit, did you notice that Microsoft, for the first time since 1986, declared a quarterly loss? And it was no small one, $492 million, or 6 cents on a share, they lost in their fourth fiscal quarter. They had a buy down from a very bad purchase that they made. How do you like this for a little write down? $6.2 billion.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
That's a big number.
What is going on at Microsoft? It just looks like they have a death wish.
Well, I mean, everyone needs Microsoft, right?
You know, Microsoft just needs refreshment is what it is.
They do. Serious.
You know, it's time for a new perspective, a new twist. I mean, they've been the same way. What, 1986? That's been over 20 years.
And, you know, Apple went through its crisis, and when it came out the other end of that crisis, and Steve came back again in mid-90s, it was a huge change. It made a big difference. Mm-hmm. Hey, back in a minute, we're going to be talking about young women, getting them involved in technology and keeping them involved with Emily Hay, our social media expert. So good to have you with us here on our program. The Internet Advisor, been around for going on 15 years now. My name is Foster Brown, and we have Cal Carson and Shane Hamlet in studio with us, but also this is the week that we bring in our social media expert each month, and that is none other than Emily Hay. And Emily, of course, always good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks, Foster.
And you have a very special focus today, and we have a whole studio full of people that we're going to be used to develop this, and that is a particular passion of yours as a woman who is involved in technology. So why don't you introduce the theme, and let's talk with the guest we have with you as well.
Sure, absolutely. Now, this was really interesting for me to do some research and just see the kinds of things that are happening to get those teen girls, those preteens, interested in the field of technology so they can have a career in it someday. And as I was researching, of course, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, I got to learn about this Camp Infinity. And why not turn towards the source? And I'd love to hear Julie talk a bit about that.
Yes, we have with us Julie Patterson, who is the director of Camp Infinity. You're also a teacher at the University High School in Ferndale, and, as a matter of fact, one of the pioneers of a program with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology called the Get It Program. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yes. And now, tell us a little bit about what Camp Infinity is that you've just finished.
Okay. Camp Infinity is a camp for girls who are going in through 5th through 8th grade. We have two focuses in the program. The younger girls, they do web design using a program called Composer, and then they do sort of video game design with Storytelling Alice. Both of those are open source, so the girls can continue their work at home.
Oh, cool.
So that's a nice feature. Yeah. And then our older girls, they do web design using HTML, and then they also do robotics using the Lego NXT platform.
Oh, excellent. So a lot of hands-on, it sounds like. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Julie, with this program, something I thought was interesting, and so data shows that, is this the case, that girls just by a certain age, or they lose interest in these type of fields?
Yes, and a lot of the data says, you know, high school's too late. By high school, the girls have already, if they've been discouraged when they were younger, they've already lost interest by high school. So that's why we focus on this age group, because we want to foster it at that age group so that they'll continue on when they get into high school.
So I guess one of the questions that some people may be asking, why are you focusing a program on girls and technology? What's the big deal? Why is this an issue? Other than the fact, of course, that you are women who are involved in technology yourself. Why is it a big issue?
Now, Julie, I'd love to have you speak to this, but some of the things I learned on your site was that it said that main reasons why girls potentially lose interest is a lack of confidence, lack of social relevance, and lack of peer acceptance. And again, just thinking, if I'm the only girl sitting in a room with a bunch of guys in a certain field, I might feel that a goal is less attainable if I can't envision myself in their shoes. So is there any insight on that?
Absolutely. And I really think that a lot of it, too, shows that the girls like to be social and they like to work in teams and that sort of a thing. And a lot of them see this as, oh, this is a boy thing and I'm sitting behind my computer and I'm not talking to anybody. And that's just not the case. When you really get into technology, that is not the case. But that's the impression, and I don't think we do it intentionally, but that's the impression that girls get when it comes to fields in science and math and technology.
Why is that?
You know, I don't know. And I don't think anybody does it intentionally. And I read articles that say that teachers unwittingly, you know, discourage girls. And I'm sure no one does it on purpose. But
there's a lot of women who are involved in that at that level of teaching. So you would think, I can't see why women would be discouraging girls from that.
I don't think it's a matter of discouraging. I don't think it's a matter of discouraging consciously.
Right,
I think what's happened is that in our culture in America for years and years and years and years and years and years, it's always been the boy game. And it was always guys involved in science, always guys involved in technology and that sort of thing. And the women were in the domestic side of the world. And I think that innate consciousness was buried and has been in there for a long, long time. Now, as that culture has changed and the world has changed, I see more and more of that going away. Henceforth, more and more women are involved in the technologies and that sort of thing. Oh. But what I have to ask Julie a question for, if I could, is that what is it that happens that makes the girls fall off come around high school? Is it because of proms and all these social events that go along with that? Or what makes it
boys
go away?
Boys. Is it boys or cooties?
Well, if it was boys, that'd be the great place to be if you're in a room with a bunch of guys. But anyway, what have you found, Julie?
You know, I really think it just is a disinterest in math. It's not that the girls can't do math. They just sort of start to lose interest in it. And I don't really know why that is. They just, like you said before, they just see it as a boy thing. And I don't know why, because, you know, I'm a teacher, and in my classroom, the girls do just fine in those subjects, not all that into it.
I would think even at that age, the girls are a little bit ahead of boys. My daughter's a teacher in Ferndale. She works as a sub in the Ferndale system, and she often talks about the fact that the girls really are kind of ahead of the guys. They haven't quite got it yet.
Yeah, the girls mature earlier, and
sure.
And so in the classroom, it's kind of designed for girls, really. if we want to get into it, sit still and listen is a girl thing.
Yeah, that's what's the irony of it, is that we have this very capable group of people who suddenly lose interest in that, and it's strange dynamic. Now, Emily, you feel that social media, and I think you do too, as well, that social media is a key to tapping into or holding on to the girls. How would you use it to do that?
Well, I absolutely feel that way. And I mean, I'm a prime example, not like I've, got it all figured out, but iPads, iPhones, laptops, you put those in our hands at any age. And I mean, my business, a social media consulting business, with all female team members, we don't know how to write code. We don't speak in IT terms. But I view social media, social technology as a launching pad to get girls interested in fields that, before the day of Facebook might not have been interested in some of the certain math and science courses that learning communication skills and being able to put those to use with social technology tools can make a whole career change for you.
How do you see, Julie, when you were dealing with the young ladies at camp, how do you see them interacting with the social media? Is that a big factor in what keeps them involved?
Well, what's interesting is they're a little bit younger, so I don't see them hop on Facebook and that sort of thing. I see them hop on social, like, gaming sites that I don't even know what they are, like Webkinz and that sort of thing.
Ah.
And it's really interesting. A lot of fashion, social gaming fashion sites, I see them on those a ton. Just these bright blinking screens, you know, when the girls have free internet time and it's like, what is that? And they've got all these dresses to choose from, and but they can also interact on the site with other people. So I think it's they're on these social sites that adults really aren't even familiar with.
Now, Cal, I know your daughter has gone on to be very involved in technology. Matter of fact, had the pleasure of meeting her out at the Apple store, where she's one of the associates out there. And growing up in your Mac world, I know that she's been exposed to that technology. What kept her?
You think so?
What kept her hooked on it? What kept her interested in it?
As long as she could do something that was, I guess, was cool or acceptable, and that people, you know, and that she liked and that other people liked and enjoyed, then I think that's the thing that held her interest. Like, for example, when she was in high school, they had to do a project for radio and television. So she got on the television side of the game, and they produced their own show. Well, all the kids had the ability to go ahead and edit the video, but, you know, she had the most talent with it and the computer that could do it easily. She brought it home, and we, you know, sat down and worked together, and she edited the video out, took it back. Everybody thought it was, you know, cool and that sort of thing. So that sort of thing kept her alive with the particular situation as well.
So do you see her interest? Have you seen her interest in math moving along with her interest in you know, kind of the social connectedness?
Absolutely not.
And she, there's the rub.
You know, but it's not that she's not interested in the math so much, or that she's learned to take the technology and be able to use it the way it is in its particular place. Whether or not she wants to go in and actually start, you know, creating software and that sort of thing, I don't think that's her game. But she likes to take the tools of the technology and make it do the things she wants it to do.
What were you saying something, Shane?
The math thing is, I wasn't great at math, but I know my technology, and I can get by writing code and things like that. I just think everything's kind of blending together. What we do, TV, radio, it's all media, and it's all just even like Specs Howard, that does trains for this kind of thing. They're getting into technology now.
Oh, absolutely.
With web development. It's all kind of blending into one big
convergence.
Multimedia.
Yeah, it is. That digital world is what's blending.
It's not pocket protectors anymore.
And, no slide rules.
No, I mean, it's kind of...
I mean, this past week's a perfect example. Let's take, unfortunately, the tragedy out in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, before, you used to have reporters get on the scene and cover that sort of thing. Webcams and phones and stuff
like
that.
We were watching phone videos. We were getting firsthand reports from people who were in there. Twitter was exploding on that. Emily Hay is in here, studio leading our discussion in the social media, helping young ladies stay involved in technology. We're going to get three of those young women who were involved in Camp Infinity with us in just a moment to give us their perspective. Well, I'm delighted to say we have a full house of very excited young ladies who are in studio with us. And we're talking on this edition of the Internet Advisor about using social media in particular to help young women. We're talking about preteens, and sometimes we call them the tweens, before high school. Girls to get involved in technology and stay involved in technology. And with us to help guide that conversation, of course, is our social media expert, Emily Hay.
Biased and present. Yes.
Biased and present. You're the president or CEO also of an all-female team with your social media company. Hey there, social media. And then we also have with us in studio, Julie Patterson, who's back with us again. She's a teacher in Ferndale at the University High School there and involved with the Michigan Conference of Women in Technology and their Get It program. Just finished leading the group, Camp Infinity, right?
Correct, yes, at University of Detroit Mercy.
And that was co-sponsored by GM Foundation, right?
Correct.
And yes. MCWT.
Yes, and STG was also a sponsor.
Mm, okay, excellent. So some big folks getting behind this to help young women get involved and stay involved in technology. Now, we also have in studio, let me just run down and say hello to everybody here. Make sure that I get everybody's name right. And starting to my left and to your right, they're listening to the radio. We have Yaa Tondo, who is from Detroit, right? Yeah?
No, I'm from Southfield, and my last name is Tondo.
Tondo, thank you very much. Get a little closer to your microphone so we can hear you a little better. You can pull a little bit closer to you. Yaa, thank you for that correction. Southfield, very good. And it's Yaa Tondo. Very nice to have you with us. You're entering 7th grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what school?
Levy Middle School.
Levy Middle School, very good. We also have another young lady with us, and I'll have to look over the monitor to see her. And that is Caitlin Rogers, right?
Yes.
Hi, Caitlin. How you doing?
Good.
And Caitlin, you are with us from Detroit. Have I got the city right this time?
Yes.
Okay, and what grade are you entering?
7.
And what school?
Cornerstone, Nevada.
Cornerstone, Nevada. Okay, and then we have Taeja Perry. That's who I got over there. Taeja, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Very well. Where are you from?
I'm from Detroit.
Okay, and you, what grade are you entering and where?
I'm going to 6, and I'm going to Bates Academy. I got accepted.
Very good. Congratulations to you. Well, ladies, very nice having you involved. Now, how did you young ladies get involved in this? How did you hear about this camp, and what made you decide to go to the camp? Let's start with you, Yaha.
Well, my principal, Ms. Teague, she really likes helping kids. Like, I'm in the Advanced Placement STEM program at my school. So she emailed my mom a bunch of summer camps to go to for technology and stuff that would help me, you know, and then like...
Well, why technology? I mean, you could have gone to camps for any number of different things. Why go to a camp for technology?
Well, she knew I liked technology.
So, like, what things do you like about technology?
Well, really, like, at Camp Infinity, it just expanded my horizons. Like, now I know how to, like, build a website, and now I'm helping... Wow. Now, like, I'm partners with my auntie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Business partners with my auntie.
Oh, this is sweet. I love it. I love that. Uh-huh. I love that. Emily, you got to be happy about that.
Absolutely. I'm looking at an entrepreneur right across the way using technology.
Well, you had mentioned on an article that we linked to on our homepage, by the way, about getting young women, keeping them involved in this kind of thing, that you have there's a young woman who was 15 who had developed a website, a commercial website, and certainly you're younger than that, right, Yaha?
Mm-hmm.
How old?
12.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, this gal, she was 15, so you're already ahead. She started an e-commerce business and basically made a little franchise, so that means anybody can have a little business just like hers,
really cool.
Teaching kids e-commerce.
So, Taeja, how about you? How did you get involved in this? How did you end up here?
My principal.
Again?
Yes. Since I'm valedictorian for my fifth grade graduation, 4.0 all year, excellence award. And so my principal is really interested in me and my intelligence. Mm-hmm. She told my mom about it. Mm-hmm. And my mom knew I was interested in technology. I love math, science, and...
Excellent.
I'm up for anything, so I just want to try it.
These girls are cool. I like this. This is really great. Okay, Caitlin, how about you? How did you get involved here?
Well, my mom, and she helped me like find a camp for technology to help me improve in my computer class at my school. And I think technology is very interesting because you get to do these different things on a web page and use the different codes that I never used before.
Codes? Now, you're writing code?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Where did you learn to write code?
At Camp Infinity.
At Camp Infinity. So you're beginning to build things yourself, like software or websites or whatever else there?
Yes.
That is really good. How did you first get involved in technology? Where did that start for you?
It started when I ran track and I was trying to start a web page to find sponsors for me.
Very good. Move the microphone a little closer. You can grab it. Move it a little closer to you. There you go. There we go. We want to hear you good. So, girls, and I guess this is the question that I have, along with the people who are here. Do you recognize that there is this kind of thing that's going on where girls who start out really well, like you are, interested in technology, all of a sudden kind of lose interest in it? Does that make sense to you that you would lose interest? Yaha, you're shaking your head pretty vigorously. Why? Why would you ever lose interest?
Okay, like there are some girls that I know, well, used to know, but like back in elementary school, they're like really interested. It's just until they grew up, and then here's what distracted them: 3 things, boys.
Okay.
Boys. First of all. Second of all, like, you know how cliques are and how they're, like, popular and so, like, some, oh, you can't do that, you're uncool.
Oh,
first, cliques and like that.
Okay, yeah.
And third, self-insecurity. Like, they think that it's just for boys and they'll be icky and they'll be, like, tomboys and, like, not girly girls and all that stuff.
That's interesting. So, yeah. So how else, Taeja, do you see that kind of thing happening?
Yes, a lot. First, kids, some kids, like me, are interested in technology, but other kids are like, oh, it's boring. I want to go outside. I want to stay at the computer and look up my homework. I don't feel like it. But, like, you have to sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so people think that it's not, some kids think that it's not worth it, and they think that iPads are boring. And I was like, you lost it, because it's the best thing ever.
it. You're a great salesperson for that. Okay, Caitlin, how about you? Have you seen that happening where friends who are girls just kind of, I don't want to get involved in that because it's, you know, boy kind of stuff or what?
Sort of, because they probably find it a little bit more difficult. And they're, well, we're females, so we want to go shopping and, like, talk to each other over the phone and do Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, you hear that?
Now, there
Sorry.
You go. Now that actually hooks back into what you've been talking about, Emily. So you believe there's a way of using that, then?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, social media, it enables us to communicate whether you're in person or whether you're, you know, hanging out on Twitter. So that was, I had a couple of questions even for some of the gals. Side note, do you gals find if there are some girls that maybe don't think technology is cool, do you find that you tend to find each other? Like now you've got other people that have similar interests and through this camp that you've been able to find other gals that think it is cool to get involved in technology?
Yes.
Good to hear that.
So the camp was a way of you guys getting together and finding support for one another too?
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
I think that's one thing about having an all-girls camp too. You know, when the boys are around, the girls want to, you know, like she said, boys, the girls want to be cool. When it's just girls, they can let loose a little bit and it, you know, they're not as self-conscious. And so I noticed the same thing with the Get It program at the high school level. You know, it's an all-girls program. And just when the girls get in a room together, it's a different dynamic. Mm. And you can still have fun and it's cool. And you don't have to worry about what is everybody else thinking.
Yeah.
And see, Foster, that is what I see every single day on social media, that the female community in particular on Twitter, they have each other's back. You know, they nurture and support and retweet and forward and reply and get involved and form these relationships through social media, like Julie said, that in an all-female community that maybe they wouldn't have if they were just sitting someplace in person.
Do you think that this maybe will be the cure for the dynamic that I know you've looked up and you mentioned in your article that we posted on our homepage and linked to there, that was it during the mid-90s we saw a big, or between the mid-90s, I think, and mid-2000, we saw a big drop-off in the number of women who were involved in technology. Was that the problem, that we didn't have that supportive community? Because we certainly had more at that time, but very able, you know, engineers, et cetera, who were women.
I mean, you mentioned the 90s, so technically, I mean, pre-social media. I mean, if you think that these social networking sites, since they've evolved and we've gotten to know them better and we've become savvy ourselves on how to use them, I can only imagine that that's, yeah, probably a huge change. And that's why social technology, now that we have it, it is such a great tool to build people's interest in technology that's not just the sciences.
Just out of curiosity, girls, how involved in social media, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, things like that are you? Caitlin, you're smiling. What's up? Pardon me, Tiesha.
It's pronounced Taeja, but
Taeja, thank you.
Facebook is not really interesting to me because it's dangerous at the same time. You can give too much information, and
very
next
wise.
Minute you know you're gone.
Very wise.
And so, and secondly, I don't want a Facebook. I don't need one to get friends. I just walk in the hallway and I already have friends.
Like. Well, how about other social media? You know, like Twitter for communicating, things like that.
For communicating, that's needed. So that's.
Oh, okay.
Much.
There's some other things. We're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back with these three young ladies. We're going to come back also with Julie Patterson, who organized Camp Infinity, and with Emily Hay, who is our social media expert, kind of wrap this up, this conversation about how to keep this wonderful group of young women involved in technology so they go on to become the new Marissa Mayers and heads of maybe even Microsoft. God knows they need help. Some of you may be aware of that a new feature on the Internet Advisor is that every week what we try to do is to give you what we call our takeaway. It's the Internet Advisor giveaway or takeaway, whichever you want to call it. And it's something that you can take away. It's free, or it's small, or it's very easy to use. And this week, Shane Hamlin gave us a great one. It's called Bliss Control. That's one word, B-L-I-S-S, control. And if you go to our homepage at internetadvisor.net, you can just click on that. What you'll find is, and Emily, we did this for you, because it is a single website that allows you to manage all of your social media network settings from one place. So, for instance, you can pick a setting like you can change your bio, your password, username. You can delete accounts, change mobile settings, recover a password, change your profile picture. And that's one side. And then the other side is you could do it on all sorts of different social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, LinkedIn, YouTube, Flickr, you name it, pretty much any one of those sites, all from one place. Very simply put the information in. Now, they don't take any information
from you. They don't keep any of your information. They just provide the links for you to go to your places. But it's like one place I can change all this stuff. So it's like a Swiss Army knife.
Good to hear. Right, like a time saver.
Absolutely. And it's absolutely free. And you'll find that again on our homepage. Now let's go back to this wonderful group of young women who are in our studio with us. Preteens who have been involved in Camp Infinity this past week. That was sponsored by the GM Foundation, Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and
STG.
STG as well. And that voice was the voice of Judy Patterson, who was the Camp Infinity director. She's a teacher at University High School in Ferndale, where you've been involved in the Get It program there. And we have three young women in studio along with Emily Hay, our social media director here. And let me go back around and ask you, young ladies, this. What is it that you, what's the one thing that you want to do now, the next step that you want to take? And let's start off, I'll start off with you over there. Caitlin, what is the next thing you want to do?
I want to create a new webpage to find sponsors for my track.
Okay, so you now have the tools to do that, right?
Yes.
Because of the experience that you had, you can go on. And you run track. What events do you run?
I run the 100, the 200, and the 4x4.
Wow.
And you know what, if I can add with that, and again, I know this is something you have to check with mom and dad on, Caitlin, but have you ever thought about putting a quick little video of you running, you know, you doing an event that could be on your site so people get to see just how fast you are and maybe they feel compelled to want to sponsor you then?
I thought about it.
Cool. So there's some social media, a little YouTube video.
There you go. A YouTube video that would tie in with that. A great way of adding to the skills that you've been learning as well. And then let's go to Taisha. How about you? What's the next big thing you want to do? Hang on a second. We have to get a microphone up for her. Got it? Okay, there you go.
The next big thing I want to do is I want to make, well, I already made a website, but I want to put it on Google so everybody can see my website. It's about me and my best friend, and we love to sing. And so we're good singers, and we're not shy. And so I want to become famous, and I want to. So I made my website at Camp Infinity. So when I become famous, I can say I made this all by myself with just a staff, and they'll be more surprised and encouraged. I can make my own website.
Love that. Now, Emily, are there any kind of particular tools that she could bring to, from the social media aspect?
I'm just smiling over here at this Camp Infinity success story.
I love this. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned that if Facebook is something that you're not really interested in having a Facebook profile, then at least maybe with Twitter could be a good way to get quick snippets out of listen to our latest recording in a way that people can keep in touch with you without necessarily visiting your website. And then they could learn about you on Twitter and then they go find you on Google and find your site that way.
Yeah,
they learn about things like retweeting so that they can send on tweets that they had of where you are and the songs that you sing. You can also attach images to that video, can't you now?
Oh, sure. In fact, do you use Twitter? Is that something, I don't know if you guys use yet.
I have an email. I don't use Twitter.
Okay, yeah.
But Twitter would be like another tool to use, and you could include audio and video in it as well. Now.
Yeah, a link to it back to her website.
That would take it right back to your website. Yeah, how about you? What is the next big thing you want to do?
Well, really now, like, I told you before, I made a website for my aunt, and now we're business partners.
That's right.
Well, really?
Excuse me, what is the business, y'all?
Well, my aunt, she, like, has clothes shipped from Africa, like cloth and dresses and jewelry. And then she...
That's your heritage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from what country?
Ghana.
From Ghana. Very good. Okay.
So she has them shipped here, but she's having trouble, like, finding customers. So I propose we start a website and all that stuff. So now I'm going to start my own website to help people make websites and make a small fortune.
I love it. There's no shortage of high hopes in this room. I love that. So I was going to ask you guys, you've already had it. We talked about a lady named Marissa, a mayor who became the president, the CEO, if you will, of this big corporation called Yahoo, which was at Yahoo at one time was one of the major places on the internet to go for mail and for searching and everything else like that. Could you imagine yourself someday, you know, being the president of something like that or the CEO? Is that what you'd like to do one day?
No, I work for myself. I'll start my own company. No, I work for myself.
Okay, that's Okay, very good. How about you?
I can, but I can't because I don't want to be in technology every single day.
Okay.
So I want to try different things.
Okay, so you see using technology to do other things rather than being
in technology. And
so
how
about, technology can be useful in life.
Right, being useful for you rather than being involved in it. Caitlin, how about you?
I think I probably would as like a plan B or plan C if my other career or job or anything wouldn't work. I probably would do it.
What technology you mean? Get involved more in technology?
Yes.
Now, what is your primary goal then?
Being a veterinarian.
Being a veterinarian, that's a wonderful, wonderful field to enter into. Require a lot of science and math to get there. And there's a lot of technology now that's going on in the medical fields in terms of like medical records and things like that. So you're inevitably going to be involved in technology.
Sure.
I'd like the two adults here, first of all, to think, maybe to reflect on this. Julie, as you are the one who guided Camp Infinity, what are some of the reflections you have on the things the girls have been saying?
Well, I think one of the interesting things, we bring in speakers to camp as well, and one of the things that we try to do is show how technology goes across industries as well. For example, we had, she mentioned being a veterinarian, although they weren't able to come this year, but we usually have leader dogs from the blind come out.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have their tech people come out. Sort of shows, like, if you're interested in other things, this year we had Cisco come out, and they talked about some medical devices they've been developing. To sort of show the girls, like, technology is in every single industry.
Yep.
And of course, GM came out, and then we had a girl the next day with a drawing of the car of the future, and she had listed out all of the technology on the side that the car of the future was going to have. It was super cool. She was getting feedback from her counselors. And so I think we really try to show that, you know, no matter where your interests lie, technology is woven in with that.
Mm.
And it sounds like these girls get that.
Certainly got
it.
How many girls were involved in the camp?
We have 40 girls at camp.
40 girls. That's wonderful. Emily, as you're looking at this from your perspective of social media, kind of our consultant here, what have you gathered from this program, and what do you see?
You know, I think it's interesting because remember when the classic story of you go home, you tell mom and dad what you want to do, what you want to go to school for, and they give you the, well, what are you going to do with that? You know, what are you possibly going to do? But technology, regardless if it's building a website, if it's learning robotics, it is always going to be a great safety net that you are literate in technology.
Mm.
So learning how to use the smartphone, a whiz on the iPad, building a website. I mean, those skills, regardless if you do it personally or professionally,
right,
will never be a problem to
right
have.
And regardless of what your skills are. Folks, I want to thank the Ya'atondo and Taisha Perry and Caitlin Rogers and your families, by the way. Thank you very much for letting the young ladies come
in here.
You're
welcome.
And thank you as well to Julie Patterson and the folks at
thanks
the camp there
me
and for all our sponsors. And, of course, Emily, it's good to have you around, and thank you.
Thank you.
For being a very successful woman in technology.
Oh, well, thanks, Foster.
Lots of resources on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. You can find out about that Internet Advisor takeaway that we have, Bliss Control. You'll find out about all the topics we've been talking about and about the young ladies who have been there. Look at our Facebook page. We'll be posting some pictures, by the way, that we've taken in studio so you can see these people as well. And coming back in just a little bit after this break, 1-800-859-0957 is your number to call in with your concerns or problems with your computers. We've got a whole team of tech experts in here to answer your questions at 800-859-0957, the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that is your hour. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you happen to be tuning in, this is when you are the star. You get to call us with your concerns, your problems, your questions about your computer, how to get it working better, how to get it working, period, maybe even to resurrect it. I have a little story about that with an old computer this week. The number is 800-859-0957. That puts you directly in touch with our experts in studio. 800-859-0957. Call now. Hour number two, of course, is the hour in which you get to call at 800-859-0957. Ask whatever question you may have about technology in terms of computers. And we have Kel Carson in studio with us, and Shane Hamlin is here today to answer questions. Thank you very much for being here. Shane, you're particular, you've done PCs, but have you also worked on Macs?
Oh, sure.
You worked on Macs as well.
Yeah, I can do it all.
And
Listen, after those last guests, I'm going to have to keep up on my technology because they're coming for me.
I know.
I got to watch that.
I don't know, but the firecracker that sat in this seat here,
I'm
starting to worry just a tad bit. Oh, my God.
She is a neat little lady. Ya'atondo was with us, one of our three young ladies who have been to a technology camp for preteen girls. And, Emily, you had to be proud to see these girls.
Well, absolutely. Savvy savvy in technology and also just great communicators.
They were. They were really spark plugs. Emily, by the way, is going to be with us. Emily Hay is our social media expert, and we have her here once a month in studio to answer questions. So, by the way, if you have a question, like, say, for instance, about Facebook or about Twitter or about LinkedIn or something like that, Pinterest, you know, where you have been having some problems maybe with or want to ask some questions about how do I do this on my Facebook account, Emily is a great person to ask that kind of question to. So please use our phone number for that today, 800-859-0957. And I might mention, by the way, that we have a load of information on our homepage, as usual, at internetadvisor.net. The show notes are there, a great article that Emily wrote on encouraging preteen and teen girls to stick with technology. We also have, thank you, by the way, Shane, for that Bliss Control, our Internet Advisor giveaway or takeaway today. That is a cool little site.
It is. It's very cool. I mean,
one place you go to, and you can do all the changes on your settings and all of your social media.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that it takes your password and, and stores it. No, it just tells you where to go, and it brings it up for you.
Yep.
You know, because we go to some of those social media sites, their settings are kind of hidden a little here and there, and you never know where to go.
Exactly.
This takes you right to where you need to go.
Somebody was telling me about that the other day, Emily, in terms of messaging, and I think we may have talked about this the last time that you were on, that there's an email setting on Facebook, isn't there?
Yeah, we found out where to track those.
Yeah, and there's actually some hidden stuff inside of there under, is it messages? Yes, I think it is. Yes, messages. There's an other category, which I was totally unaware of, and I found all sorts of email in there.
Well, wait a minute. So, Emily, let me ask you this question, because now I'm fascinated. So, do I have an actual email address buried in my Facebook location?
Right, so that's what we talked about. If you go to your news feed, and you go off to the left, and you'll see your profile picture, and then there's news feed, messages, events. If you click on messages, there's an other. And so that's what I think the discussion about, you know, like Emily at Facebook.com or I can't
remember.
Yes, it
would be Facebook.com, I think.
Yeah. So there was an email address associated with people's names, but I think I was a little stumped on how you retrieved messages there. And that day that we had the aha moment was seeing that there was this other category of message.
And things can get lost. But we do all have email accounts at Facebook. We all have a name at Facebook, and I forget exactly where you found that. I think it's under
I remember it being under your under your About section. If you go to your profile and you click on your About section, you scroll down to the bottom under Contact Info. I'm looking at it right now. It says Emily A. Hay at Facebook.com. I never set that up. I don't know how to retrieve that.
Oh, now that apparently goes through your Facebook page, though. In other words, the email sent to Emily A. Hay at Facebook.com would land in your other box, I'm guessing.
I have a blank stare right now.
I am so glad you came up with that, because just yesterday, my wife was trying to send some email back to two people that she knew from our graduation high school class. And one of them had what I called a real email address, and the other one, she was trying to send it back via her Facebook location. So in the email field, it was HTTP, you know, Facebook.com slash that person's name.
Yes.
And it would not allow the piece of mail to go because it wouldn't accept it.
Oh.
And I hacked on it the longest time, and then I found that in there and took it out. And then the email went with the other one with no problem at all. But I guess now maybe.
So what did you hack out?
I took out the one that the address that was HTTP at Facebook.com.
Okay.
And so now I'm going to go back in and go and I'll look for that information that Emily just said. Now try a test message and see how that works out.
So again, Emily, that was under profile?
If you go to your personal profile and you click under your About section, scroll all the way down and you'll see, you know, the things you like, your work and education.
Or it's
and under
about,
contact info. It's got your website, email, Facebook, and under email it just says Emily A. Hay at Facebook.com.
I got you. Yeah. Okay, so I dig in there for that. All right, we've got some folks calling in right now. Christopher, we'll be with you in just a moment. Let me just mention again that our site is 800-859-0957. That's a phone number to get you in touch with us. Let's jump right on our first call and say hello to Christopher and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, guys.
Hi, how you doing? You want to take get some cassette tapes to digital?
One more time?
You want to get some cassette tapes into a digital format?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I want to go from, I have a whole bunch of regular cassette tapes.
Yeah.
That, you know, have music on them.
Sure.
And trying to figure out how I can get them into digital format so I can go MP3 and I can get rid of all these cassette tapes. That's because for years and years and years, we were buying cassette tapes.
Oh, of course. 80s. All of us were doing that and getting the better and better quality tapes so they'd last us for all along. And now we got boxes of these things. I have the same thing. Shane, you're chuckling.
Christopher's got all those mixtapes from the 80s, right?
VHS tapes, you know, for movies.
Yeah.
No problem. Went to Best Buy, bought one of those machines that has a VHS to DVD converter, and converted them over. But couldn't figure out
how do you the question is, how do you handle the cassettes? All right, we're going to put you on hold because we got a break coming up. And Christopher, when we come back from the other side, that's what we're going to tackle with you. How to handle that to get that wonderful collection of cassette tapes that you had and put them out to digital format.
I've got them covered.
All right, we got that covered. Coming back. And if for your questions up there, give us a call, 800-859-0957. Well, once again, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. That number is wide open for your calls right now at 800-859-0957. And let's get back to our first caller, Christopher. We got to him a little late in that first segment, but Christopher from Detroit.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to hang on with you, though. Okay, Chris, here's the deal. You said you've got a whole bunch, and I can relate to it. I have a whole bunch of them as well, these cassettes that we gathered over the years, gathering songs on it, making your mix list off of it for traveling in the car when cars suddenly had cassette players.
Man, I must have about 17 cases of them.
Oh, boy.
Have well over 300.
All right. So, Shane, you had some thoughts.
Well, I mean, Christopher, you did say earlier before that you were doing this with VHS tapes, correct?
Well, yes, because I bought a device Best Buy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
and that device takes the VHS tape and swaps it to a DVD.
Correct.
I've never seen a device that can take a cassette tape and do the same thing. I couldn't figure out why they never built one.
Well, there's good news. They did build one. There's several out there. One of them, and it all, you know, like with everything, like with the VHS one, you know, the quality and what one you buy is how, what kind of output you're going to get. So there's one called actually Cassette, the number 2, USB.com. It's a very small, simple device. It looks almost like an old Walkman. You open it up, put your cassette in. It's got an output, USB output. You put it in your computer, no drivers. It'll recognize it and convert it right over to digital for your CDs or MP3s. And it's not horribly. It takes about 3 steps to do. It's not horribly expensive. It's maybe about $59. I'm sure... You know, there are other devices out there.
That's not bad. $59.
No.
$59's not bad at all. You think something like Best Buy would carry that? Or?
They may.
But you know.
I don't know where you guys are. I'm thinking I'm on a Canadian station now, but I'm in the States.
No. We're the U.S. station. But, I mean, you could. Okay. I mean, even if you were in Canada, you probably could do this because you can order these things online. I mean, Tiger Direct and a lot of those other places.
Yeah,
Shane,
I hate doing that stuff. What? I don't put my credit card information.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ever. No, I can relate to that. But there are, I would imagine the Best Buy. I'm thinking if you're in the Detroit metropolitan area, Micro Center is one that we often...
And they're in Ohio as well.
The thing is, can
Ohio
I ask you guys
too.
One thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
When you do a cassette to a DVD.
A DVD?
Well,
a CD.
I don't care. Cassette to CDR, to CD, whatever, DVD.
Right.
You're streaming it as one string, meaning you don't have the ability to cut each song off, correct?
No, you're going to take the whole thing and transfer it over to your computer, and then once it's in that digital format, then you can play with it and do all kinds of things.
Although
you can cut the tracks and slice them.
Well, Christopher, I think there are some that will actually, I've seen some that have software that will recognize the end of a song and will actually then split them into tracks.
Correct.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, that's probably...
That's why I love you guys.
Okay.
I see you all the time, but that's why I love you.
Here's one more...
I get to a point, it's like, I used to have a computer company, and we did work for Ford, GM, and Chrysler, but we did programming.
Uh-huh.
I don't do that anymore. I'm done with that. I'm too old. I can't be bothered.
You're never too old to do it.
No, that's for the young kids. Let them do it. I can't be bothered anymore.
Here's
And it's like, you know, and then the industry changed so much after I sold the company... Yeah. There's no way I'm getting back into it again.
Yeah, it keeps on changing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it keeps on changing.
And I'm like, well, how do I do this? I can't figure this one out.
I'm
stupid. I should
know. No. They got some other options.
But I mean, God, it's just, it's that crazy. That's how much they change it.
Yeah, it keeps on changing. Cal had a thought for you.
Hey, Christopher, one more.
I can tell you guys one thing. They're dumbing down America because before we had a C-prompt, and now we don't anymore. Everybody's a button.
Okay, Cal, your thoughts.
Here's one more tip for you, Christopher. If those cassettes have been sitting around for a long, long time, before you try to record with them, put them into a cassette player, fast forward them all the way to one end and then back again to take some of the tension off the tape. Otherwise, there's a good chance they'll snap when they first try to record.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's a physical medium, and they get a little brittle, too, as they get old, and you got to be careful with that. So that's a very good piece of advice. Chris, thanks so much for your call. I hope that helps you.
Put it on the heads and so on, and that's fine. We used to do that when we were kids. I'm sure we're all about the same age.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Christopher.
How can I get this to digital media? I can't understand.
Well, that's...
There's a lot of money. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there.
Yep.
There's a lot of money invested.
Well, and that's part of what Shane was talking about. There are some devices out there that can help you do that. Matter of fact, this is a field that you'll often find, for instance, with vinyl records.
Yeah.
There are devices out there now that, have pretty good turntables on them. I was impressed to see.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's high-quality stuff. I mean, people want that vinyl sound.
Yes.
Even though they're bringing it over digital, they still get that vinyl sound. And a lot of those players actually know that, and that's kind of how they're set up to do.
That is interesting because there are a lot of people I know who in the past have worked with vinyl. Talk about the richness in sound. The warmth. Mm-hmm. Exactly it. I haven't personally heard that. but, I mean, people who are sound technicians know that there's a real difference in them because with a digital signal, what you're actually doing is taking the signal and chopping it up into tiny, tiny, tiny little bits, very fine little bits,
yes.
But you don't have that continuum of sound that you had before with analog.
Wow. I wonder if I'd be able to hook up my gramophone to a USB.
But yeah, the old wax cylinders.
But you're absolutely right. It does have a sort of richness and warmth that comes with that. It's the same thing that if you talk with Ed when he's here, he'll talk about the difference between the transistor amplifiers for the guitar.
Yes.
And the tube ones that he's been putting together for his son. There's a certain warmth and richness that comes with the old vacuum tubes, and not just warmth in temperature, but also in sound.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It makes a difference for some strange reason or another, but you can tell.
Is. Now, what you're saying, Shane, is that some of the technology that's out there is actually helping to capture even that aspect of it, that little nuance of it.
Well, that's because people want that sound. I mean, and what kills me is that a lot of people actually will get one of those, and they'll use the software to get rid of all the hiss and the popping but that's really what they want, So they'll turn off all those filters.
Yeah.
And bring it down. I like a nice clean. I'm all about the high tech. I love my Dolby, 7.1 or.
I will get rid of the hiss and the pop. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, I've got a. It's funny that you mentioned that device because I just realized my sister-in-law gave me a turntable mm-hmm. this past Christmas that has that converts to USB on there. So mm-hmm. you just stick a USB thumb drive in there and just load all the music up, and it's really cool.
You could do your gramophone too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really. I mean,
but
you could record it right on your iPhone.
You just sit the microphone right by it and go
It'll
for it.
It'll sound fine. Yeah. There you go.
Okay, here's the phone number, 800-859-0957. You can have old technology. You can have new technology. I don't know. Does this talk about gramophones and registering with you at all, Emily?
I'm not completely sure what the gramophone reference was.
It's a little the cassette tapes, does that register with you?
Oh, sure.
We're getting there. Okay.
cassette tapes.
The gramophone came out back in the old days when televisions used to run on kerosene and yet started with a rope.
Well, but, I mean, nice listen, tell. Emily's sitting here. I'm sure there are people out there with questions about Facebook and Twitter. I mean, take advantage of her. She's here.
Please.
Because I have a lot of questions about Facebook and Twitter sometimes.
We will get one back for you because we'll let you get a chance to ask some of those questions as well because there are plenty of people who are asking questions about Facebook, in particular how safe it is. And one of the things that I'm noticing, Emily, is that even when I'm off of Facebook, there's a lot of places that want to use Facebook to log in to different kinds of applications, and then I find them wanting to make some kind of a connection. How wise is that?
Well, again, it's at least they give you the option if you want to connect it or not.
That's true.
I mean, I have seen, even if you're logging in with your email account or just connect with Facebook. I don't know about you. I'll connect with Facebook to other social networks. But mm-hmm. if it's something, I don't know, shopping or something that you, that there's a transaction involved, I never log in with Facebook.
Okay. I've wondered about that too, because now I've noticed a number of things recently that I've been trying to hook up with, you know, to sign in now to these places. It says, you want to sign in with Facebook? And I'm thinking, oh, okay. But then all of a sudden this thing pops up and it says, well, will you allow us to use? And then it goes through a whole litany of things. And I think, no, I don't want you using all these other things, you know, and allowing all that access. So it's a, certainly is a two-edged sword. Okay, we got some folks coming in here. Steve from Findlay, Ohio, will be with you shortly in just a moment. And for the rest of you calling in, 800-859-0957. Back to answer more of your questions with our tech experts. And welcome to our special crew today. That's Cal Carson, our Mac expert, Shane Hamlin, who's a master of all trades in here with us, and Emily Hay, who is our social media expert. So if you do have some questions, besides being on computers, but also about social media like Facebook, you've got a question you just desperately want to ask about that, please do give us a call at 800-859-0957. A unique opportunity to talk with her. Let's go back to our phone lines and say hello to Steve from Findlay, Ohio. And Steve, welcome. You have a problem connecting with a wireless router, I see.
Yeah, great show. Love your show.
Thanks,
yeah.
Steve.
Hey, we had a power outage a while back, and I had a printer hooked up virtual to my router and used to work. Well, unbeknownst to me, I went to print something today, and little lady said, of course, well, that's not working. Well, she never told me that 2 weeks ago. So I went up. It's not recognizing that the printer was hooked up.
Okay.
I hooked it up to my old printer. It recognized that printer.
Ah.
So I'm using the same cable. Is it something with the connection going into the printer? I mean, I'm trying to pinpoint it
Printer, was the printer hooked up when you had the power failure?
Yeah, we were out of power for like 5 days. Well, I had it hooked up to a generator.
Okay, I'm wondering, did you possibly get a power surge that might have damaged this other printer?
I have internet, though.
Yeah, well...
I have my internet off my router.
Yes.
Correct.
So the router's working.
Yes.
And the printer seems to be working. I mean, all the lights and everything are on.
Okay, okay. Okay, I was just asking a question. Now, how do you connect with this printer that's not working right now? Do you connect with it wirelessly or by plugging a wire into it?
Both. The one that is not?
The one that is not working.
The one that is not, I tried to plug it in directly, and it didn't recognize it.
Okay, and it didn't recognize it.
Directly into the computer.
Into the USB port on the
computer.
Computer.
Was it working wirelessly?
Yes.
Does it
prior to the outage?
But it doesn't work wirelessly now.
Correct.
Okay, so it works neither wirelessly, Shane, nor does it work wired.
And his wireless router is working. He's getting wireless.
He knows that.
And he's
so you've done good deduction there. You've done good deduction, Steve.
Kind of how we do it.
And it recognized the other printer.
And it recognized the other printer. So now, have you tried?
Wireless.
Yeah. Have you tried simply uninstalling the printer from your computer? In other words, going into the computer and saying, delete this printer.
And then reinstalling it? I tried doing that, yes.
Okay.
And it reinstalled, and I tried to print, and it still didn't print.
Did you have that printer plugged in via USB while you were doing that?
I did it both ways.
Okay. Yeah, because we always want to, whenever we have a printer problem, we always want to disconnect that printer from the computer. First, disconnect it from the USB cord, and then start your troubleshooting. Remove any printer software or printer drivers that you have for that printer, and then reinstall the newer ones that you've downloaded, and let that software call for the printer.
So you see this as a software issue.
Well, no, I'm kind of giving you some steps on how to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you said you've hooked up your other computer, your other printer, and it worked. Was it with the same USB cord?
Same cord.
Yep.
Yeah, and if the other one works wirelessly and USB and this one isn't working, period, with wireless or USB, it could be a driver issue.
What do you think, Cal?
I think it's the problems with the printer itself.
Yeah, it could be.
What brand printer is this, HP?
It's an HP 2605, I think, DN color.
See,
it's
traditionally
a pretty nice printer.
Traditionally with the HP printers, if you went in and removed all the software from the OS, rebooted the machine.
From the what?
From the operating system.
On the computer.
All the printers?
Just the software for that particular printer you're having a problem with.
Uh-huh.
Remove that software and then disconnect the USB cable from that printer. Reboot your computer. And then when you boot it back up again, take the disk or the download of the software from HP's website.
Okay.
Start it up. It's going to, somewhere during that process, ask you to connect the cable to that printer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you connect the cable to that printer, and when you connect it, if the software doesn't find it, the problem's with the printer. It may be the USB port on the printer that's bad.
That's true. Yeah. I had, matter of fact, I had that happen on a printer once where I had been in the habit of plugging and unplugging it for various reasons, and I had damaged the USB port on it. You're shaking your head.
I am.
Yeah. They're very fine wires in those USB connections, and they can often break, especially the ones that are not the more robust ones. But
Steve, do you have a laptop?
Yeah, that's what I use.
Do you have a second? You have a secondary computer somewhere?
At work.
Well, I was just going to say, you can always just plug it into another computer and see if it detects that printer right away. You'll know right away.
Yeah, right.
Well, what's funny, it's detecting the other printer.
Yeah.
Yes, but what he's saying...
That's what's throwing me off.
Well, it's different.
Almost the USB on the printer, but... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Different printer, different drivers.
I'm going to take a wild guess, Steve, and take a crack at this. To go to HP, first of all, uninstall that printer, disconnect the cable to that printer, the one that's not working right now. Then I would suggest what Cal says, go up to HP, and then from there, download all the drivers, the package for that, for the HP 2605, and, get that on your computer, and then plug the printer back in and see if that software recognizes it. If it doesn't recognize it, as Cal said, sounds like there's a problem in the computer itself. In the printer itself. Okay?
If it is, can I ask you quickly?
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to see if there's a broken cable or something on that USB port on the printer itself?
Well, swap out the cables. As a matter of fact, I've had cables go bad.
I swapped out cables.
No, the port internally on the printer may have a problem with it.
Oh, okay.
If you look inside that hole where the cable goes in at, you could look and see if there's a bent pin. There's only four of them in there. And that might show you something. But if you don't see a bent pin in that porthole, then it's probably internal in the printer. And taking that printer apart, it's not worth the time.
Okay.
Throw it away.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much for that question. That is so frustrating, isn't it? That is so, because with printers, there's so many things that can go wrong. The nice thing about it is, though, that in most cases, you can uninstall the printer and it'll come back if it's just that software problem. But it sounds like he may have something that may be mechanical as well. Joe from Livonia, welcome to the Internet Advisor. And you have a conversion question as well.
Yes, I do. And first of all, thanks for taking the call, guys, and Emily.
Aw, thanks.
There you go, Emily.
I've got a Mac. I'm running, it's a G4. I'm running OS 10.4.11, but I may be stepping up to an OS 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a Sony triple-headed cassette deck, and I want to be able to convert both music and vocal cassettes onto the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether or not there's anything in terms of software that is already on the Mac or on the OS of the Mac that will allow me to do that conversion, or do I need to go to something like Audacity?
I would normally go to a third party in that particular case, because I don't think there's anything really built into the operating system at that level. And one thing that might really work well, I'm trying to remember of it, I think it's called CD Vinyl. I'll have to look it up. It's a real simple application. It's probably cost the CD comes with a small little device that has plugs on it where you can plug it directly into the side of the cassette deck or the record player, and the other one plugs into the Mac itself. And then you load the software on there, and you can record, and it takes care of all that situation for you. It's really, really...
Is it plugging into the USB port or what?
It's plugging into the
Audio 3/5/8 plug.
Yeah, the 3/8 plug audio in on the Mac, and also the same one or an RCA plug on the source device that you may be playing from.
I just found something interesting, by the way, Joe. I was just Googling for this while you guys were talking, and I Googled for that CD vinyl, and then there was a Mac update that took me immediately to Amadeus Pro, which is software that I'm trying myself right now. I really like it in terms of, but it says that it can be used for live recordings, digitizing tapes and records, converting between a variety of sound formats. I find it a very nice format to work with. This to,
what kind called, of price?
It's it wasn't bad. I think it was like $59. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can the
and
one
is
that,
that software and a hardware item.
I
or
think
is it just
that's software? Just software. It, go ahead.
The one that I bought came with both software and the hardware.
Oh, okay.
Got it over at Micro Center. Probably cost me all of, I think it was maybe $69.
And this that was CD vinyl?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice, because this Amadeus Pro is $59.99. No, $60 for the software itself. That's the software, but what Cal is talking about is there is a device that you were able
right.
to find for that. Okay.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Joe. Hey, back in just a moment, Ben from Adrian. We've got something to help you with if we can. Matter of fact, it's a question for Lady Emily.
She's waiting.
Facebook. She's waiting. And for the rest of you out there, we've got lines open for you as well at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Your questions. Thank you so much for having joined us for this second hour of the Internet Advisor. Great place, by the way, for you to come to get your questions answered during our live program at 800-859-0957. And still some room for a couple more calls coming in there. We'll be with Ben in just a moment. I want to thank Annie Nichols and Rich Lozinski behind the glass who make this program run very well. And Cal Carson, thank you for doctoring on my... my defunct iPhone over there, along with answering questions here.
This is so much fun, I tell you. I mean, I know Ed would be like salivating right now if he had a chance to get to it, but I got it.
This is my iPhone that I took swimming, folks. That does not work well. Cal, however, did manage to get a little bit of a Lazarus experience with it, and now Ed wants it next time around. He wants to get it open, gets his hands on it. Shane Hamlin, thank you very much for being in with us this week.
Oh, I'd love to. I love this. This is just awesome.
That's his métier.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's dive in. Ben, welcome to the program. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Foster?
Very well. Ben Carpenter, old listener of ours and a good friend. And you have a question for Lady Emily Hay, who is in here.
That's right, I do.
All right.
Right
let's
ahead.
See what we can do.
I have not used Facebook, and I'm wondering all the pitfalls and so forth or what to avoid if I do try to use it.
Very good question.
Well, sure, Ben. And I think the safest way to go into using Facebook is assuming that it's all going to be visible for anyone to see at any point in time.
Very good. True.
I mean, truly, there. Not to be overly dramatic, but of course, there's privacy settings, and there are some things you can do to contain your own personal profile on Facebook. But we just don't know all the answers You know, maybe you uncheck a setting, you know, you fix an email setting that you once thought you had in place to protect your social network. And maybe then something that you thought was private is available for more people to see. So I just think that if you err on the side of caution and use Facebook as an open book, then that's probably the best rule. Do you guys agree?
That's weird. Yeah, we were talking about this during the break. I mean, yeah, that's if you're going to go to Facebook, you have to be open to anyone seeing that you're there.
There are ways in which you can control that, for instance, under some of the settings, but it's almost like it's defaulted to be an open platform. And Ben, I know that you come from a generation, and as well as I, where privacy is a very important thing. We talk about keeping our information, our stuff. This generation now, the digital generation, doesn't think in those terms. It's like everything's out in the open, and then you pull things back gradually to protect things. Mm-hmm. So Emily's statement, I think, is probably true. Just kind of figure that everything's out there. But there are ways you can pull things back.
Yeah, but I'm going to put on my Gary Baker hat.
Okay, here we go.
Here you go. Anything you put on the internet is open to anybody, period, whether it's on Facebook.
And will be there forever.
If it goes on Facebook, any other social media site, on any website, any place it goes on the internet, there's a chance that someone can get a hold of it, and it's open to anyone to get.
And, you know, Ben, I have a question for you. What part about using Facebook intrigues you the most?
Well, the fact that several people that I know are on Facebook, and I'd like to see what they got to say. especially Internet Advisor, because Foster's mentioned that they put stuff on Facebook.
Yes, yeah, on our Facebook page. We have a page for the Internet Advisor where we put on special articles, like the one Emily posted. We also put up pictures of people that have been in the studio with us. Yeah.
And that's a perfectly good reason to go ahead and, you know, set up a profile with, like Foster said, with any privacy settings. And Facebook, the prompts walk you through to do some of that when you're setting up your profile. But that's a nice way to dip your toe in the water, so to speak. You know what you want to accomplish on Facebook, the people you want to listen to and connect with as Facebook friends. And you can like the Internet Advisor page to start.
Yeah, that's what we want. And liking, by the way, is a way of connecting, basically, with different pages and with people as well. Yeah,
yeah, it's real important that, you know, you don't necessarily, I don't want to put out a fear for people not to use Facebook or anything like that. It's just be prudent on what you post. And if there's something you're going to put out there, it's obviously going to be something that you don't mind having posted and wouldn't care if anyone saw.
Well, it's like this. I've been accustomed to emailing with different people. And, I mean, some of them are on Facebook, and it might be easier that way than the email. And that's what I was curious about.
Ben, I tell a lot of my associates and friends and customers all the time, you know, I get, you know, some older people or people that just don't know a lot about technology, and they're always getting a virus with an email or an infection. Mm-hmm. And I wish I said, well, do you use Facebook? And that most of them say no. You know, they're still using.
Very good.
You know,
point.
I would so much rather have a family member use Facebook to communicate with their family and friends than the email any day.
And by the way, within Facemail, we talked a little bit about this before, Emily, you can message. In other words, there are kind of three ways you can connect to somebody on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Then there's a middle one, little button on top where you can message somebody. Matter of fact, I had somebody make a business contact with me.
Yeah.
They couldn't find me anywhere, so they found me on Facebook and then messaged me, and I've got a job this coming week because of that.
Now, when you do a message on Facebook, my question is that private to you, or is that something that everyone else can see?
Just between two people.
Just between those two personal profiles.
Yeah. Okay. And the advantage of that Shane, you pointed out, I hadn't thought of this. You avoid, Ben, in that case, you avoid spam. There's nothing getting tagged in there, nothing, you know. You can attach pictures as well to your Facebook site, and people can download them from there.
I'm looking at my message inbox every day when I log in. I don't get loaded up with junk mail and junk messages.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And if I do, and when I see that there's a message and it's lit up, I know it's coming from somebody and it's important.
That's a very good point.
I've got to see it. It's not junk mail or spam, so I... When I see it lit up, I'm like, ooh, who wants to talk to me? What's going on?
Isn't that curious? I immediately
go to it.
Isn't that curious that Facebook, which people complain about privacy, actually allows us a wonderfully narrow private window to communicate?
Instead of email where I'm sitting there going, oh, 500 messages, you know, and it's all 99% of it is literally junk.
Literally.
And I mean, even with our clients, the business pages that we administer, Facebook now allows a person to message. They can Facebook message a business page. Can't go the opposite way unless they, you know, the person first messaged the page.
Oh, I see.
But of the business pages that we administer, just like Shane said, we are so quick to respond to people that message the business's page.
Yes.
Because we want to condition them to have a good experience. So you could be waiting for days by filling out the contact us form on the website.
Very good point.
But if you message their business page, then you might get an answer quicker than you would have thought.
That's interesting business application. I never thought of that. Ben, does that answer some of the questions?
I guess it answers some of them.
What are some other ones you have?
Well, that I guess was most of them because I use email quite extensively now, and especially with several different businesses that I email with.
Sure, sure, sure.
And some of them are on Facebook and some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any choice of those that aren't on Facebook.
Right. I think the good thing is that with Facebook, though, you do have this option of having a much more private conversation. Not on your Facebook page, but through the messaging, for instance.
Good point. Correct.
It's not hard, Ben. I mean, I'm so glad you're doing it. You're going to stay better in contact with your friends and family. How old are you, Ben? May I ask?
74.
Do you have a granddaughter, a grandson, or somebody that you know that does do Facebook?
Yeah, my daughter does Facebook.
There you go.
And my grandson does Facebook.
Have them sit down with you one afternoon and just set you up. It takes literally, 5 minutes. and show you the ropes. And I'm sure you're just going to you're going to be more in tune with what's going on in your family than you ever have now that you're going to Facebook. I promise you that.
Perfect endorsement, Shane.
Some of the things they do, I maybe shouldn't know.
I know exactly what you mean. I got 17 grandchildren, Ben, and I know exactly what you mean. So I'm thinking to hold my head and say, oh, please, too much information. Ben, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Foster.
Good as always talking with you. Hey, folks, hang on to those of you who have been calling in. We can't get to you right now. We'll get to you before we finish, leave the studios here. Thank you so much, Emily Hay, for being in here.
Thank you, Foster. Delightful.
By the way, don't forget our homepage, internetadvisor.net. I'll have the podcast posted by tomorrow night for you. Listening live to us right now, and you can hear that, and you can also get all the information we have stored there. Thank you so much, Shane Hamlin, for being in.
Anytime.
Delight.
Absolutely.
Cal, thank you for laying hands on my iPhone.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what develops.
All right. Thank you so much. And for the rest of you folks out there, thanks for making the Internet Advisor possible with your calls and with your involvement. Visit us on Facebook as well and get to see some of the people who enjoy us here in the studios.
You've been listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.